Notice that I never get up and stand at that microphone at the front because I am one of these people whose legs shake. So I like hiding behind here. People say, oh, it's just because you like to be lifted away up. It's not. The whole idea of a pulpit, by the way, just for those who don't know, the whole idea of a pulpit, when you go to some of the Church of England, it's very, very high. You nearly need a ladder to get into it. But it was about elevating the Word of God. It was to lift the Word of God above everything. And that was the point of it. But for me, them curtains and everything stop you seeing my legs shaking. Okay, I'm going to pray and ask for God's blessing on his word this evening. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, this evening again, we just want to thank you that we can come here, Lord God. As Pete mentioned, our numbers may be few, Lord God, but we're here. Well, what's more important is, Lord, you're here. And this is the place where you promised to bless us and to speak to us, Lord. And so we delight in you this evening. What an amazing God you are. Lord, help us tonight who are here to hear what you're saying to us, please. Lord, we don't want to take Christmas for granted. We don't want it to overwhelm us. We want, Lord God, to enjoy whatever it means, Lord God, to us in a way that we can celebrate your goodness in the giving of your Son, Jesus Christ. That he would come into this world so that we would know you. We ask, Almighty God, that you would help us to love Jesus more. That as we come, Lord, very close to the end of a year, that we, Lord God, would ask you to give us, as you said to Jeremiah regarding the people of Israel, give us singleness of heart and inspire us to fear you more. As we move, Lord, towards this new year. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's true, Sunday nights when we look around, you think, where's all our people gone? And you can become despondent. And I remember one Sunday night, wasn't that long ago, where it had gotten to me that people, and I know that people in Shiloh take coming to worship the Lord with a take it or leave it attitude, you know, but not everybody thankfully does it. But this night I was really angry about it, and I was sitting there and I was really angry at the Lord, and I just says, oh, the hell with this, I'm not even getting up to give my talk. And God spoke through the songs, because this is the place where God comes to speak to his people and to bless his people. And he spoke simply the words, feed my sheep. Didn't say feed the few that are there or feed the many. He just said, just feed my sheep. And I felt very, very humbled that God had spoken that to me. And so we can get down when we see people are not here, and we know that there are people, and there's always in every church people who have a take it or leave it attitude, and we can only pray that God would really move in people's hearts to show how important these are. Because when you think about it, you know, over the period of your lifetime, coming to church plays a very small part. You know, we do so much more of everything else, but just to give that time to the Lord. And I personally believe that every investment in the Lord will have a rich reward. So, that aside, let's turn to our reading this evening. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 is the first reading, and then we'll be looking at John chapter 1, and then one verse in John chapter 8. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, the writer says these words, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." And then over to John chapter 1, and we're reading the first 14 verses, very famous passage in the Bible. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, And the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And in verse 28 of the same chapter, says, verse 29 says this: the next day John, that's John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then over to chapter 8, and this is our last verse this evening. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, to this group of people. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Last week, Keith spoke about the carol, O Come, Emmanuel. And everybody knows Dave. When Dave's going to read from a passage in the Bible, he always starts with, this is my favourite passage in the Bible. And it's every passage in the Bible is Dave's favourite passage in the Bible. So I just thought, you know, this is my favourite hymn, or carol, O Come, Emmanuel. And then I said, well, actually it's not. But Keith spoke on it last week, and it speaks of a promised Messiah who would come to save Israel from their enemies. And over the centuries we've seen, and you read it in the Bible, we've seen how God raised up what would be called saviors to rescue Israel and deliver them from those who oppressed them. And of course, the greatest enemy of Israel, and in fact to all mankind, was and is sin. And Keith showed that God promised a virgin would conceive a child who would come to save God's people from sin. Now this was told way back, and Billy had mentioned it this morning in his prayer, about the seed that was promised who would come. And here again, Isaiah speaks again. Hundreds of years later, God is still heading towards fulfilling his purpose. A virgin would conceive a child who would come to save God's people from sin. And his name would be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. When I was reading this during the week and putting these down, I have Handel's Messiah in my house. For the ignorant, that's classical music. But in Handel's Messiah, this is actually sung. The whole of the Messiah is sung, and a lot of Isaiah is in words, and some of it's absolutely awful. It's a dirge. But this part is wonderful because it goes, Wonderful! Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But it's really rousing, you know, and I'm doing it, and I'm sure my neighbour Elaine thoughts, here goes that looper. As I'm in my bedroom screaming, Wonderful! Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Only they do it with tune. It also says that his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. There's the clue. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. And so as Dave said, the carol we're looking at tonight was composed, and there's an argument around this, in around the mid-1600s or early 1700s. And it was taken from the Nicene Creed, or the Statement of Faith, which itself was originally written in the year 325. It was also thought, and this is interesting, it was also thought that this hymn was an ode written for the birth of Bonnie Prince Charlie, whose Jacobite rebellion actually failed to regain the throne of England from King William of Orange. Now, who ever thought King Billy could play a part at Christmas? But they actually thought that this hymn that I'm going to speak on tonight was a secret message about Bonnie Prince Charlie and the Jacobite Rebellion to try to regain the throne of England from King William of Orange. But let me read to you the Nicene Creed. It says this: I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men, for our salvation, came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. He was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Now, for those who have clicked on, a lot of the teaching in Shiloh concentrates on what's called the Apostles' Creed. But the earlier Nicene Creed places a lot more emphasis on who Jesus is. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, that's Messiah, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made. And that's interesting, because our carol, which actually is my favorite, says, God of God, light of light, lo, he abhors not the virgin womb, very God, begotten, not created. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. I don't know how many times poor David at home had to listen to me going through the house singing, oh, come, let us adore him. Waking up in the morning and singing it. I keep telling him, he says, you're always singing, you're always singing. I said, when you know Jesus, you've got something to sing about. But, oh, come, let us adore him. You see, what's happening in this carol, oh, come, all ye faithful, it is a call to the faithful. Oh, come, all ye faithful from Listenabring. Oh, come, all ye faithful from Whitehill. Oh, come, all ye faithful from Bangor. Come, come, and adore Jesus, the Son of God. You see, this is why I argue that carols should be celebrated and sung all year round. I'm sure those people a couple of years ago that were down there in the park in June thought them people in that church are loopers when they heard us singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing in the middle of June. They weren't written to be sung by the 25th of December. They speak about the incarnation of Jesus, the coming of Jesus, but they are something that we should be celebrating all year round. Why? Because when you know Jesus, you've got something to sing about. Oh, come all ye faithful is a call to come and worship the Lord. It's a call like that of Psalm 2, which says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you and you perish. Oh, come all ye faithful, like many of the old hymns, It was written to impart biblical truth to those who maybe didn't possess a Bible or couldn't read or understand the Word of God. And so the hymns were written to teach people, and they learned the hymns, and therefore they learned the doctrines. And that's why it's so important that we check what songs we're singing. Because songs can sometimes sound wonderful, but be biblically incorrect. And so the old writers wrote the words down, basing them on the Nicene Creed, the Apostolic Creed, basing it on the Word of God, so that the Word of God was being taught. So as Keith was saying this morning, people were memorizing bits of the Word of God that come their darkest hours, they could cry out the Word of God unto the Lord. It was written to teach who Jesus the Messiah was and is. So the obvious question is then, who is Jesus? Well, let's look at what O Come All Ye Faithful says. He is God of gods. He is God of God. Jesus is the promised Messiah, the seed spoken of in the Garden of Eden, who came to save Israel and all of God's people from their sins. We would be without hope tonight if he only came to save Israel. But it says those who walked in darkness, the Gentiles, have seen a great light. The God of gods, the God who is God, came himself to save his people from their sins. He is not just simply a human being like us. Don't get mistaken about this. Jesus is not just simply a human being like us whom God anointed to do this work. He is God himself become man. Do you see the difference? He's not a human being like us who got a special anointing to do this work. He is God himself who came to do the work. Jesus is God. His name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. The hymn says, the carol says, God of God, light of light. Jesus is Isaiah's prophesied light that shines upon all the Gentiles and to all who walk in darkness. Jesus is, as we've said, sang, the light of the world, the one who brings light and understanding about God and man's relationship with him. Jesus is the light of life, and in him there is no darkness at all. In fact, in his light, we see light. Because without the light that Jesus gives, we remain in darkness and gloom. Ask yourself this. How did you become a Christian? How did you get saved? It was because Jesus, who is the light, allowed you to see light through his light. And you were enlightened. Or as I say in Northern Ireland, you've seen the light. In his light, we see light. The Apostle John says this, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, through Jesus, we have forgiveness of sin and everlasting life. How could you not sing, O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. You know what? As the comedian Jimmy Cricket would say, and there's more. Lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb. This is Jesus, who is God, lowering himself from the divine to become human and allowing himself to be carried in the womb of a virgin. Who could ever have thought this one up? Who could ever come up with a plan like this? That God himself would allow himself to be carried in the womb of a virgin and born and raised to be crucified so that we could be reconciled to him. Though he abhors not the virgin's womb, very God. Although he did lower himself from the divine to become human, Jesus is nonetheless God. Somebody once said it, and I don't know who it was, about Blackpool Rock. You can cut it anywhere, and it says Blackpool Rock. You can cut Jesus anywhere, and it says God. Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8 says these words, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." The carol says, begotten, not created. You see, Jesus has always been God. He was not created by God just to become Israel's savior or mankind's redeemer. Jesus is the Word of God who was with God in the beginning and is God. He became flesh and dwelt among us. He is the only begotten Son of the Father. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And he, Jesus, will save his people from their sins. You see, people speak about Christmas as a time for giving. I hate Christmas. Everybody knows that. I always joke with these boys because I always get roped into speaking at the carol service. I think it's God punishing me every year. But people speak about Christmas as a time for giving. And so gifts are given to one another, tokens of appreciation for love and friendship. But if Christmas really has any true meaning, it is first and foremost that God sent his Son Jesus into the world to die upon a cross and pay the price for our sin so that we could have the free gift of eternal life. See, not only is Jesus God's gift, but when we believe in Jesus, he gives us the free gift of eternal life. If Christmas has any true meaning, it is about the love of Jesus for his Father. You see, we watched that video at the start, and the Father said, "I couldn't do it. I could not give up my Son." Whereas God could because of his love for us. But think of the love of Jesus for his Father. Jesus loved his Father so much that he was prepared to come and die. If Christmas has any true meaning, it's about the love of Jesus for his Father and for us, in that he obediently and willingly came to rescue us from our greatest enemy, which is sin. If Christmas has really any true meaning, then we need to heed the call to the faithful and come and adore Christ the Lord. The love of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit should compel us to come and adore Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight, thank you for Jesus. What a wonderful Savior we have in Him. Thank you for your love for us, that you, Lord God, had such a salvation plan that meant that God would become flesh and dwell among us, that Jesus would be raised up to die upon a cross to pay the price for sin so that we could be reconciled to you. And so in believing, Lord God, in His light, that we see light, we, Lord God, would receive your free gift of eternal life. Lord, thank you for Christmas. Not the commercialism and materialism and the hustle and the bustle of it all, Lord God. Not the pressures that often it can put us under, Lord God. But when it's all stripped away, thank you for sending Jesus Christ, your Son, into this world to give us light and understanding about you and your love for us. Thank you, Jesus, for doing it. And Lord, tonight we not only hear the call, but we heed the call to come. Let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. We bless your name this evening.